I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, we start with what we're going to call a news brief. Tom Brady's underwear. See what I did there? Tom Brady's underwear. We all saw it, or if you didn't, ladies, you probably want to check this out on Instagram. Giselle bunching his wife, walking into the bathroom. This is an ad for Brady, the clothing brand, now apparently doing underwear. And there was Tom Terrific in front of the mirror. Little more, maybe not suitable for this pod. Well, probably suitable for the podcast we're doing. Maybe not for work.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't see anything on this podcast.
Yeah, that's correct. But if you want to check it out, go ahead. I'll say this. For a nearly 45, going to be 45 in August, he's in pretty good shape. I got to tell you, the TB12 thing, man, it must work. It works for him.
Looks a little better than good. His combine picture.
Yeah, you think? Way better. Yeah, way better.
20-some years later.
The legs are sturdy, and the stomach is flat. So, you know, who am I to complain? But reminds me a little bit of the old, you remember back in the day, and this is way back, and this is probably before your time, well, it is before your time. Jim Palmer was like the first real underwear model in athletics, I think.
I know of that.
You've heard that? Yes. You've heard that? You probably go online and look at his underwear pictures if you're so inclined, whatever. But yeah, he was the guy that probably did the first sort of male brief ads and things like that for the Loom. I can't remember what the brand was. But still a radio announcer for the Baltimore Orioles, 20-game winner, Cy Young, all that stuff. Back in the day when the Orioles were great, and
it was for Jockey, by the way.
Jockey, okay, yeah, I got the brand wrong. Jockey underwear, and so yeah, so Brady's doing. I mean, look, he's all in on his clothing brand. We're going to talk a lot about Tom Brady in his off season, I guess, including his underwear. And the good news is he actually gets to play quarterback this week. He's going to be at the Bucs mandatory minicamp.
Wait a minute. He plays quarterback.
He plays quarterback. He's going to be doing that. He's not going to be doing all these other things in the offseason. This has been, and we will document on today's podcast, one of the most newsy, eventful, crazy, busy off seasons that I think any player could have. But Tom Brady has managed to navigate it. And so we're going to get into that and kind of give you a timeline just to give you an idea of just, I think, the sheer volume of things that have happened. Well, not only tell you why I haven't slept in about 6 months, but also just how busy this guy has been. And now, you know, has he forgotten how to play football? He's navigated this for 22 years. Can he do it another one? We'll see. Before we get started, though, folks, don't suffer this summer with your old AC system. Call our friends and the experts at Air Rescue. Air Rescue offers superior service at unbeatable prices. Your unit is going to perform 30% better and last longer with regular maintenance by Air Rescue. Their award-winning team, they deliver 24 hours. They have emergency service 24/7. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. They've got residential installation and repairs. It's family-owned with over 75 years in the business. Air Rescue offers 100% financing. They have affordable payments, very easy application process with no administration, bank fees, or extra costs with that financing. They make it as easy as they can for you. Call our friends at Air Rescue. Here's the number, 813-612-5600, or go to airrescueflorida.com. That's airrescueflorida.com for the air conditioning experts, Air Rescue. All right, so we're going to preview Game 4 of the NHL Eastern Conference Final between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Rangers. We'll get to that here in just a minute. I want to start with Brady, and not just his briefs, but I want to talk about all of his offseason, and this will be a little longer than the brief we just gave you. But, you know, going back, so I wrote a story in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com, sort of like, you know, finally this guy is actually going to play quarterback. And we have not had a chance to really talk to him. I hope we get that opportunity for the readers this week. Starting today, Wednesday and Thursday, is the Bucks mandatory minicamp. Mandatory meaning you must be there. If you're one of the 90 guys on the roster, you have to be there. So, you know, Brady has done some phase two stuff in the offseason. He's obviously had some passing camp workouts on his own. But mostly, you know, he has been sort of working on so many other projects that it's just been really incredible to watch and kind of document what his offseason has been like. And you just wonder, you know, he's done this for, you know, 20-something years, but at no point in his career has he navigated this. At no point in his career has he, you know, had so much on his plate as he did this past offseason. And so we're going to go through it just a little bit here. And I think, you know, the key quote in this story, and I kind of set it up with a few graphs before we get into the timeline, is that if you remember when he retired, and this happened, we'll get to how it happened, but when he did finally announce his retirement, he called playing football a, quote, all-in proposition. He said, if 100% competitive commitment isn't there, you won't succeed. And success is what I love so much about our game. There's a physical, mental, and emotional challenge every single day. He capitalized every single day that has allowed me to maximize my highest potential. Now, you know, during the season, we know Brady is all in, right? He's consumed by it. And as I wrote, he thinks about it three times a day, morning, noon, and night. And we have to allow for the fact that he's kind of done this now for 22 years. So he knows how to get himself ready. But his off-field commitments, you can't tell me they didn't mushroom. I mean, you know, from the clothing line, filming two movies, watching Cristiano Ronaldo over in London, you know, the TV contract with the Fox deal when he's done playing for $375 million, Netflix. So let's just kind of go through this and sort of remember all that has transpired in this offseason and kind of capture what the volume of this has been. I mean, it has been crazy for the Bucks, even crazier with the Brady story. And it all began that Friday on January 28th. I've talked about this, Steve, before. You know, the guys that get credit for breaking the Brady retirement story is mostly, according to my sources, Tom Brady, myself, and Jeff Darlington reporting that he is going to retire. Nothing against Adam Schefter, who does as good a job as anybody. Just look at his paycheck. There's a reason why he has this many followers and makes as much money as he does. He's the best in the business, bar none. However, the night before, it was Jason LaCanfora of CBS Sports that reported, and this was Friday, January 28th, reported numerous sources close to Brady remain convinced that the all-time great is preparing to retire from the game. And that story, for whatever reason, didn't get as much national attention, despite pretty accurately predicting that an announcement was imminent. And then about 20 hours went by, and it wasn't until that Saturday, you know, when Schefter and them came out with their tweet, that now everybody realized, okay, this is real, this is happening. And then for the next 48 hours, remember this? It was like the career funeral for Tom Brady. All you saw was highlights and reaction from players and everybody else around the league. And Brady hadn't announced anything.
You know, it's the power of those four letters.
Yeah.
ESPN. And Jason LaCanfora, who has broken news in the past, has also gotten some wrong in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it, too, is, you know, understanding who is breaking the news.
Right. How much credit you give them and credence you give their reports.
But I also think the other part of it is we all are pretty sure we know Schefter got it from Brady. Or Brady's people. LaCanfora probably got it from sources.
Correct.
It wasn't the official announcement.
Right.
That Darlington and Schefter were supposed to get.
Right. Those two guys are deep inside Brady's circle. They both have done one-on-ones with him. Obviously, Adam went to Michigan. You see the Michigan helmet behind him on you know, from his home set and all that stuff. he has done everything Brady throughout Brady's career. And Darlington has kind of been a guy who sat down with the family. He's done, you know, he's done some stuff with Tom as well. So they're both very plugged into Brady, especially in his New England years. So you instantly believe, well, this is true. But then there were days that went by, even after Schefter and Darlington reported this, with no confirmation from Tom Brady. And they were getting kind of, I don't want to say beat up, but people were like, oh, you guys sure about this? And even we were calling the Bucs, and, you know, the Bucs' first reaction was, well, you know, we're still waiting to hear. We don't know. We assume he's, you know, going to make up his mind, whatever. By Monday, it was Tom Brady's turn. And here was the weird thing. He goes on his Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray. Well, Tom, there's a story out there that says you're considering retiring. And you surely expect him, well, surely he's going to confirm what is the obvious news now that's been out there for some 48, 72 hours. Instead, Brady says, well, it was a good week, and I'm going to go through the process, and I said I was going to go through, and sometimes it takes time to really evaluate how you feel, you know, what you want to do, think about the time is right, I'll be ready to make a decision one way or the other. So he wouldn't commit to it. Then hours later, before 10 a.m. the next morning, he couldn't announce it on Jim Gray, he officially announces his retirement on social media, and it's a, you know, what, 8-paragraph deal, clearly something he didn't just throw together in a couple of hours. And that's when he said, this is difficult for me to write, but here it goes. I'm not going to make the competitive commitment anymore. I've loved my NFL career. Now it's time for me to focus in my time and energy on other things that require my attention. And you know what? Boy, did he ever. He had a lot of things requiring his attention, man. It was, you know, and I can see as you go through this sort of like why he was being pulled other directions. You know, there was just an awful lot on his plate, and you know, you can't really blame him for wanting to do some of these things, but football was not number one to him at that point. By Saturday, February 19th, I remember, you know, talking to Bruce Arians, and he said he would be shocked if Brady ended his retirement. And he took offense. There was a report by that offensive lineman, Rich Ornberger, that his relationship with Brady had soured, and he got angry about that. At least Arians did, wanted to sound off about it. But man, so much happened after that. It was a news cycle, you know, like no other. And it just kept getting weirder and weirder. 6 days after he does announce his retirement, 6 days, February 7th, Monday, he's back on the podcast. And he says, he kind of leaves a crack in the door for his return. Now, it's been all of a week. And he says, you remember the "you never say never" quote he told Jim Gray? Mm-hmm. At the same time, I know that I feel very, really good about my decision. People clung to that "you never say never" quote, and for good reason. Because that's all they needed was, see, he's not completely in on this. Because at that point of the year, you know, he's telling the Bucs, you need to move on. You need to find a new quarterback. We're getting in closer to free agency. The combine is coming up. You got players to look at. There's so much going on. And, you know, so he wanted them to know as soon as he knew. And he was a little annoyed by the way it tumbled out. He understood that the media's, you know, going to have speculation, and they're going to fight over stories and things like that. He didn't want to upset, you know, the NFL schedule. That was the week between the NFC champion, AFC championship game, and the Super Bowl. So there was a little natural pause there where, you know, there wasn't a big, you know, a big news sort of news hole. You know, teams were, you know, were kind of, you know, getting preparations to go out to Los Angeles and have the Super Bowl and whatnot. So the timing was intentional, but, you know, he didn't want to detract, but he did because he was the biggest story for weeks and weeks after that. So then we get to the news drops sometime after the Super Bowl that he's going to do a movie, 80 for Brady. So they make that announcement, and he's going to work with, you know, Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, Rita Moreno, Sally Field, kind of the 9-to-5 crew, if you will. And it's a story about, you know, four friends and they're Patriots fans, and, you know, they make a life-changing trip to Super Bowl 51. That was the one when Brady came back on the Atlanta Falcons. So he announces that he's committed to that. He's going to actually be the one of the producers in this movie. His production company is going to help put it out, his 199 Productions. So he's involved with that film. We get to early March, and, you know, some other things happen in between. I mean, there's him, you know, doing stuff with Arians, and or Arians coming out, and there being reports that he was dissatisfied with Arians. Pro Football Talk comes out and says that the Dolphins had planned to pursue Brady and Sean Payton. Remember that story? And you know, Miami confirmed they asked to talk to Payton. You know, he retired the same day that Brian Flores had a lawsuit against the NFL. So there was speculation that maybe that's what nixed that whole situation. The Saints wouldn't let them interview Payton. PFT went on to say that Brady was interested in becoming a minority owner. So there was some smoke about the whole Miami situation. And that was a big deal, because it was like, well, maybe he doesn't want to play for the Bucs. Maybe his goal was to get out of here, but he still had 1 year in his contract, and the Bucs had kind of made it clear. In fact, at the NFL Combine, Arians made it very clear that would be, quote, bad business if they traded Brady's rights. And he said, you know, yeah, we'd do it, but for 5 number one picks. Now, this is at the Combine. Now, we've since learned that Arians at that same NFL Combine was already considering or contemplating retiring himself, because he didn't know that Brady was coming back. And if he wasn't going to come back, Arians was going to coach, because he was going to end up with, you know, Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask as a quarterback. He knew he wouldn't have a very good team. If Brady came back, he was contemplating retiring and handing it to Todd Bowles. This goes all the way back, you know, way back to the Combine. So, but before that, right around after the Combine, a little bit after the Combine, Brady has that video on Instagram where he's talking to Cristiano Ronaldo. He goes to Manchester United game at Old Trafford, and Ronaldo has a hat trick. And after the game, they're meeting together. His son is there. Brady's son is there on the field. And Ronaldo asks Brady, "You're finished, right?" And Brady kind of winces, and he seems to reply, "That's what I don't know." And that, the speculation started going rampant. I was at the SEC basketball tournament, men's basketball tournament final that day. Got home, kind of did some stuff outside with my family, came upstairs. We're going to do a podcast with you at 7:15, remember? Mm-hmm. And, or 7:30. And at 7:15, Brady puts out the tweet, and I had to look at it for like 60 seconds. He said, "I unfinished business." He was ending his retirement and rejoining the Bucs for 2022. And the timing wasn't coincidental, because it was on the eve of the free agent negotiating period. And he knew that if he's going to play, the team needed to make deals with, you know, some of their core guys like Leonard Fournette and Ryan Jensen and Chris Godwin, who was franchised, but they got a long-term deal with him, Carlton Davis, Will Golston, Giovanni Bernard, Blaine Gabbert. Remember, Godwin was interviewed, said that it changes everything. Everybody knows, you know, the player that Tom is, and it's like the Brady effect. Guys want to come and play with him. And boy, did they. They all started re-signing, and then some. They got Russell Gage. They got Keanu Neal, Logan Ryan. And what Brady said was, these past 2 months, it had been about 6 weeks, I realized my place is still in the field and not in the stands. And that time will come, but it's not now. So, I mean, we're only to, you know, sort of the beginning of free agency. And we've already gone through a retirement, an unretirement. Now the free agents start whooping in, and Brian Jensen leads the brigade, and they all kind of come back and re-sign. And the reaction, now we go through a whole nother news cycles about Brady's career, What does this do for the Bucks? Where are they going to be ranked? All the players they get back. And it's, you know, it's really something. I mean, it's like, it just, the news cycles just keep coming. So he's got unfinished business. And we get to March 30th, I'm sorry. And this is when the other shoe drops, so to speak. I'm on my way to Denver. You're here. I'm driving my son out there who's moving. And the news breaks late in the afternoon, early evening. Bruce Arians is stepping down as head coach to take a front office job. And Todd Bowles is going to be named head coach. And there's speculation that maybe Brady ordered the code red, you know. But Arians says no, that, you know, this is a very altruistic endeavor, that he just, you know, wants to help his longtime assistant get the best chance to win as he can in Todd Bowles, leave him the best possible team he can, because Brady's coming back and he's responsible for 31 families, you know, that's coaching staff and all that. So now you got sort of news cycles about Brady and whether or not, you know, him and Arians didn't see eye to eye, and that's why Bowles is the head coach. Brady goes the next day to the press conference introducing Todd Bowles, but it's also the farewell of Bruce Arians. So that becomes a big, you know, focus, because there he is in the front row, and if he did have something to do with it, you know, that's sort of sociopathic if you're going to go watch, you know, the guy's end of his career that you might have ended. That's why I don't buy that narrative. But did he agree with everything Arians did? No. Might he be more comfortable with Bowles? Yeah. Those things are probably true. But ultimately, I don't think it was an ultimatum type thing, like I'll play with the Bucks if there's a coaching change. I've never believed that. But, you know, both guys have denied it, and we'll have to make up our own minds. You know, some time goes by. There's other things that happen. None of them real, you know, real significant. The biggest thing is that Brady's coming back. His players are going to come back and join him. And, you know, he's still got more projects going on. You know, he launches his clothing line. In May, just this past month, he agrees to a record deal with Fox, $375 million for 10 years to be a broadcaster, color analyst on Fox for NFL games when he retires. Open-ended. Could be next year. Could be 5 years from now. They don't know. Oh, by the way, Fox televises Super Bowl 57, which is this next Super Bowl. It's going to be in Arizona. And so who knows? Right? Brady tweets out when the news hits. He says, excited, but a lot of unfinished business on the at Buccaneers. Hashtag LFG. So he's focused on football, even though $375 million, more money than he's made playing football in his entire career. People stunned by the fact that Brady's going to be a broadcaster. No sooner does that news break that a week later, it's announced that Brady's going to be the executive producer of a show on Netflix, a Netflix series, The Greatest Roast of All Time, Groat. And he's the first subject of those roasts. But, you know, 1 week later, he's got another TV gig. And, you know, and this is all sort of leading up to, you know, there's Brady working out with Gronk at the Yankees complex. At least, you know, taking batting practice and Gronk fielding fly balls. I assume that there was a passing camp before that. And then this just past Wednesday, he's in Las Vegas playing in his third, you know, the match. Capital One's The Match on TNT, this made-for-TV sort of 12-hole tournament between him and Aaron Rodgers pairing up against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And so, you know, they prevail. Rodgers hits a birdie putt on the final hole. The old guys win. And then they have a round table, and Brady says, you know, at this point in my career, it's kind of like 55-45, yes, I'm playing. That's a very small percentage of yes. He goes, now once I made the decision, I'm 100% in. I guess what's different, and maybe there isn't any difference, but boy, it seems busy as far as off-season go. I mean, we've covered him for, this is our third year now. He's never had an off-season like this in Tampa. Of course, there was COVID. There were other factors, right? But even having said that, he was out 40 days, and maybe that's just when he would normally spend time with his family anyway and do some of the vacationing and some of the business stuff. We know he's always in shape. We know Alex Guerrero goes wherever he goes. We know he eats right. Look at the underwear photos. And so from that standpoint, you know, he says his knee feels better. He hasn't had to rehab it. Remember, he had the MCL surgery prior to the start of last season, so he was kind of late getting into his workouts and things like that. This year, that's not been as much of a problem. But he was retired for 40 days. He was retired for 40, 41 days and presumably not going to play football. So now he's going to be back out there this week, and we'll see. I don't expect him to look any different. I don't expect him to be less engaged. This is an important week for him. It's an important week for the Bucs because Todd Bowles is the head coach, and they got 3 days with a full squad to really set the tone. You know, mandatory minicamps, you're still doing some install. It's a little bit of a continuation of OTAs, except that there's about five guys that have sort of not been there, right, consistently for OTAs, starting with Brady, which is still an amazing, remarkable turnout for Todd Bowles. Like, veterans have come, and I think it's twofold. One, they have a new head coach they want to impress. And two, some of these guys feel like they got to get better. They weren't good enough. You know, if Brady's coming back, they're all in. Like, anytime Brady's on your team, it's Super Bowl or bust, period. And so, good faith showing for Todd Bowles. But now it's the mandatory minicamp. And Brady, other than these passing camps, he might have had a few of these guys. You know, he's got to get used to some new players. You know, he's got guys that he has not spent a lot of time with. And, you know, some of them are rookies. You know, Rashad White from Arizona State, the running back. This guy is a talent, but, you know, he's as old as Brady's NFL career. And so, you know, him and Brady have to create some sort of, you know, begin to build some sort of chemistry, some sort of cohesion, and to where he can begin to trust White to help him, you know, along with Leonard Fournette, because you're going to need more than one running back. You know, Giovanni Bernard's back, that sort of thing. You know, you've got, like I said, if Gronk's not going to be there, and he's not, you've got some tight ends you've got to work with. You know, so you can go down the line, and it's important for Brady to show these guys, you know, the process, how you get better, how you run routes, how you work. And also, some of them, frankly, have to get over the fact that they're playing with Tom Brady. This is a good 3 days to do it. You know, he's like any other guy. He's going to walk up to these rookies and say, "Hi, I'm Tom Brady." And they're going to go, "No, you know, you're the guy in the underwear model, in the underwear ads." So, yeah, it's important because he's also got a new head coach. And so Brady and Bowles together have to have this, you know, have to find their way, how they're going to navigate practice, how they're going to run things, how competitive things are going to be, and sort of establish the tempo so that when they come back at the end of July, I always say this, the tryouts are over. You get back here in July, everybody's going full steam ahead to work to beat the Dallas Cowboys. You're going to have a series of preseason games. You're going to have three preseason games. You're going to have a week in between the start of the regular season. You're going to have a couple of cuts. And so those guys that are trying to make the team will have to show something. But for the most part, when they get back here at the end of July, early August, and they've got, you know, a couple of joint practices with the Titans on the road, Miami at home, it's all about preparing for game one, period. You know, they're not stopping for you if you don't know what you're doing. You know, so those guys got to get in their playbooks. They got to spend that time off wisely and come back here and be ready to play. And that's what Brady and others will be, you know, sort of trying to insist upon them these next 3 days. So I'm anxious to see him play. Look, I think he can still do it, but nobody's seen the guy. I haven't seen the guy on the field anywhere, you know. Wonder what he looks like. Wonder what he'll say. Do you think he'll talk, Steve? Do you think this will be the week that he finally answers some questions about what the hell went on in the offseason?
No, I don't.
Jeez. Why am I even going?
I mean, no. I could be wrong.
No, I don't.
Well, and even if he's on a podium, doesn't mean he's going to answer those questions.
No, it's going to be 3 minutes, and we're not going to hear anything. We're going to hear how excited he is to be playing again. How excited he is about the season. Yeah, you're right. I know you're right. Of course you're right. He won't give us much, if anything, if we even talk to him. I don't know, man. I'm anxious to see how it's going to go. Probably won't be much different than it was the last couple of years. But, you know, last year when they went out there, you know, Arians told the veterans to stay away because they had such a long season. They had won Super Bowl 55. You know, they had been playing for so long, pandemic, all of that. And he just wanted the guys that were sort of on the bubble or new players. He didn't want to wait. He wanted to give those guys the reps. That was Arians' approach. And the fact that they didn't want to come out anyway. This year, you know, during OTAs, there was such a big participation. There's kind of a continuation of that. But this year, I think there's an absolute recognition that, like, yo, it's, you know, let's not fool ourselves. He's not back after this year. If he plays again, it's not going to be here. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like everybody knows what's at stake. And so none of those guys liked the way the season ended. How could you? You know, mm-hmm. you came back from 24 down, you tied it and lose it in overtime. The defense was horrendous. You've got new players all across the board. You got a bunch of them on defense as well.
You got a new coach, which is the biggest thing.
Biggest thing is Todd Bowles. And you know what? I think Todd Bowles is going to run a different ship. Mm-hmm. I really do. We talked about this. He's more of the Bill Parcells type. He's been with BA forever, and everybody knows him, but the offensive guys don't know him. I mean, they know him in the building, but they haven't, you know, felt that sarcastic slap across the face that he gives all his other players. And so, you know, I think he's going to go have a more competitive camp in training camp. I think he's going to go good on good in this mini camp. And I think you're going to see some heightened competition that, you know, with BA, he wanted him to compete, but he wanted him to stay healthy. He was more offensive oriented. You know, Bowles and Brady are going to see more of a complementary type approach to things, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll be looking to see what the differences are in practice, in meetings and things like that. And it might take us a while to really, you know, kind of figure all that out. But yeah, it's big for both of them. It's big for Brady. It's big for Bowles. Arians is going to be out there. He's going to be riding around in his golf cart. He's the assistant to the GM now, you know, hopefully we get a chance to talk to him at some point, but, so that's it. It's a big week for Brady. It's been a big off season, a lot of things going on, busy, and he'll have more time about five weeks or so. We all will.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Come Thursday at 8 o'clock or so, I'm turning off the computers, folks.
Well, that's you're turning on the TV. It's Game 5 of the Stanley Cup or the Eastern Conference Final Thursday night.
Yeah, that's so true. It will be Game 5. And what's going to happen tonight in Game 4? Can the Lightning keep building on what was finally a much needed win? Obviously, kind of do or die. Down 2-0 in the series. Down 2-0 in the game. They come back and win 3-2. Andre Palat with the game winner, 40-something seconds remaining from Kucherov. Still no Braden Point. That was the breaking news, mm-hmm. I guess, on Monday, was that Point would not be back tonight. So we don't have him to look forward to. Vasi played really, really well. I thought they played better around him. But more importantly, they brought the fight to the Rangers. What do the Rangers do now to counter? Can they make any change? You think they do anything differently, or do they just try to play better?
Well, I mean, look at what Tampa did better in game three.
Yeah.
They got on the forecheck. They dumped pucks behind. They went and chased. And they did the work. They did the work that the Rangers were doing the first two games. Lenny went and retrieved pucks. Went and got pucks. You know, forced the Rangers to play a 200-foot game.
Yeah.
And you know, you hope the Lightning are going to continue that into game four. Now the Rangers have to figure out how to counter that. You know, how do you get the puck out of your zone quicker? How do you get your players going forward with momentum? I mean, 5-on-5, the Lightning dominated that game. They had more shot attempts or shots on goal than the Rangers had shot attempts in the game.
Wow.
You know, the Lightning played a good game. I mean, you know, you look at it, that score should have been better than 3-2 and taking a goal with 41.6 seconds left to win it. I mean, both sides had two power play goals, but the Lightning really dominated. Shesterkin was really good in game three.
I thought he was great, yeah.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, that's a world-class pass that Nikita Kucherov made to free Palat on that goal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just I watched that replay a few more times today.
And the other two were power play goals, right?
Yeah, yeah. But the patience that Nikita had to wait for Zibanejad to turn before he didn't just get the puck and push it along. He stopped for a second with under a minute to go. When normally things speed up, you know, it's under a minute, you go, go, go. But he has that patience to him, and it's incredible. And he waited, Zibanejad turns, and then he gets it to Palat, who then buries the shot. Just a fantastic play by Nikita Kucherov.
Here's the thing, and I don't want to rain on people's parade about Kucherov, because he's obviously won an MVP, and, you know, he's the best player on the ice right now for them, other than Vasilevsky, who's got to keep it going. Isn't there a way for him to temper some of the turnovers and the penalties? Because he made a lot of plays that could have cost him that game as well. And I know the high sticks are going to happen, but you know what? When you turn the puck over and you're trying to chase people, you know, and that's how it happens, that's different than just, oh,
well,
you know.
The second one, the four-minute one, was a turnover. He didn't commit the turnover.
No, no.
And so he's trying to make a play and gets the stick.
He's trying to get back. I don't know. It just seems like he is at the root of a lot of those odd man rushes. And you know, do both, right? You can be both, right? You don't have to be. You can still be a genius as an offensive player without the turnovers, can you?
Without some. I mean, think of point guards in the NBA.
Yeah,
do they go through games without a turnover?
No, really.
No, because don't forget, you got world-class players on the other side of the ice, too.
But the difference is, if I turn the ball over in the NBA, it might be a three-pointer or 2 points, but it's not going to cost me
a
game.
Well, and Kucherov's point, many of the times when he turns it over, you've got 88 in the net, and it gets stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, he sees the game differently than others.
No doubt. His vision is ridiculous.
He is. I saw some quotes from, I think it was in The Athletic, Wayne Gretzky talking about him.
Oh, he loves him. Yeah.
And Gretzky is one of those players that saw he sees the plays before they happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, most players get the puck and start looking, where am I going to go with it? He already knows before he's gotten the puck.
He knows before the players get the puck that they know.
Yes.
Like, a lot of time he leads them into...
Right.
Goals.
And so sometimes, you know what I mean? Sometimes you're making those spectacular plays, and they don't always work. Now, what you'd really like to see is, look, he's going to have some turnovers. That's just, when you have a player of that ilk, they're going to turn the ball over some. You know, name the sport and the superstars. When you're trying to, if you're Cristiano Ronaldo and you're trying to dribble through three players, occasionally you're going to lose the ball.
Mm.
You know, as good as you are, the other team's not bad either. But he sees it different. What you want him to cut down on is the high risk turnovers. Like, you're the last guy back on the blue line trying to make a move. If you've got a defenseman behind you, you're better off at that point trying one of those moves. You know, there's spots on the ice and things that's where you know you're going to get some turnovers. Minimize the ones where it's a 1-on-0, a 2-on-0 break the other way. You know, if you've got a defenseman behind you, you've got a little more room. When you're the last guy on the blue line, that's not the time. That's the time to get it deep and go find another play to make.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that. But when you have someone that's as creative, unique, different, and in a good way, I'm saying that, you know, you have to take the good with the bad. I mean, it's you can equate it in lots of
analogies. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, you're a newspaper writer. I'm sure there's some tremendous writers that have a different way of seeing things and personality. It's harder to work with or something. You know, I can tell you radio talent that I've worked with in the past that, you know, the ones who tend to be or can be really provocative and really good can be a pain in the butt to manage at times because they're going to take chances and because they're creative.
Yeah.
And they're going to try some things that don't work on the air.
Right.
You got to take that with the stuff they tried and was brilliant. It's not the same comparison, but
no, I get the analogy. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying like there are some fundamental plays that he probably shouldn't make at times.
Sure.
And you know, they would, because if he doesn't make that play, and he did, I know this is revisionist history. I mean, he did make the play to win the game,
mm-hmm.
and he had a goal as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't make that play and say those two turnovers are the difference and they beat him, then we're talking, then we're going to the offseason or, you know, the series is pretty much over at 3-0. And we're going to the offseason saying, you know, Cucci's a great player, won two Stanley Cups, MVP, still a great player, but man, did those turnovers really kill you? And to your point, they'll live with them. They have lived with them. They'll continue to live with them. And that's why they got the big cat in goal, which brings us to a column John Romano wrote, which seems rather obvious, but I think the point he's making, he said, the key to this series and every series, I think, is Andrei Vasilevskiy. He played much better. It's unquestionable that he played better in Game 3 than he did in Game 1 or 2. I think the Lightning played better as a team, and that probably was part of it. But when he needed to make big saves, especially in the first period, back-to-back-to-back type
mm-hmm.
saves, he came up with them. Could the mere rust, we talked about rust versus rest, could have affected the goaltender more than anybody on that team because he's the only guy that plays every minute. And even though they're playing better around him, could coming home and having a game like the one he just had, could we now see Vasi go on one? You know, he goes on these runs in the postseason where he allows one goal, no goals, one goal, two goal. You know what I mean? Like, how are we going to see him now lock in, do you think, or them lock in, whatever that thing is where Vasi's the best player on the ice, and that's why they win.
We know Vasi loves to play every other day.
Mm-hmm.
We know he doesn't want to take games off.
No, he doesn't.
You know, the back-to-backs you're going to take off in the regular season. But
yeah.
Beyond that, he doesn't want to take days off. 9 days off is a lot.
It is, right?
Period. For forwards, defensemen, goalies. It's a lot.
Right.
And you know, your timing, your vision, your all that stuff, can it be thrown off? I mean, I've never played goalie. I can't tell you. But in talking to people that have, yes, 9 days off can really affect a goalie.
You can only imagine.
Vasi doesn't like 4 days off in the regular season between games.
Right.
You know,
right.
Now, he does it because it's about the end game, the postseason, not the regular season.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it probably did affect him some. And you know, the other part, we never know this in the playoffs, is what's ailing anybody? And is he ailing at all? No idea. I mean, you know.
Well, if he was.
We have no reason
is,
to think that, per se,
yeah.
But it is the playoffs.
And if he is, the 9 days off would have helped him, right? If
yes.
he was ailing going into that break. And so from a physical standpoint, maybe the break was good or mentally. But there does come a diminishing returns. And I would think that would be for the goaltender more than anybody else. Because it's all about seeing the puck, right? It's all about reaction and just getting into sort of that groove. And he even though, you know, as a team they failed and they probably failed their goaltender, he hadn't been as good as he was during that 6-game winning streak in the postseason. So if he follows this, you know, last win up with another great performance and they win game two, I would say, or game four, I would say look out. You know, look out, because there's a reason he's the best goaltender in the world and everybody considers it, even though Igor Shesterkin has been the best goaltender in these playoffs
mm-hmm.
so far. I mean, he's outplayed Vasi. You know, I know he leads 2-1, but
well, I can tell you a lot of the New York media on Monday was talking about how the Rangers may have blown the series now.
That because they didn't win Game 3?
You give a team like Tampa, well, you were up 2-0 in Game 3.
Well, yeah, up 2-0 and 2-0.
It wasn't just, you know, you lost Game 3. It was you were up 2-0.
Yeah. No, they had it on their stick. They were right there.
Mm-hmm. And you let the Lightning, as talented as they are, come back and win that game.
Right.
And Andre Vasilevsky played fantastic. And, you know, could that swing the series? I mean, we'll know tonight. And, you know, momentum, we've talked about this, doesn't really carry over game to game. Confidence can.
Right.
And the fact that Vazzy's playing well can. That can carry over. And we'll see how the Lightning come out tonight. I mean, it's going to be, you know, you don't want to see the Lightning go down 2-0 again.
No.
I mean, if the Lightning 5-on-5 in this series have played better than the Rangers overall. If you can stay out of the penalty kill, stay out of the box, the Lightning should do fine and should have a really good shot to win tonight.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's the 18th anniversary of the Lightning's first Stanley Cup tonight.
How about that?
June 7th
18 years?
2004.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Woo. Where'd that time go? That's incredible.
So they're going for their fourth cup in just over 18 years this year now.
Yeah. Well, third cup in 3 years is the one is the stat that blows everybody's mind, right?
Yes.
Holy cow.
But for an expansion team that is not yet 30 years old.
Oh, it's remarkable.
To be going for their fourth cup and third in a row.
Remarkable. And this core of players are special. There's going to be a lot of guys going to Hall of Fame from this bunch.
It'll be interesting when everything's said and done.
When all their careers are over, you could have a number of players.
I mean,
Bassey, Stamkos.
Stamkos, Cooch. Hall of Famer, yes.
Yeah.
Hedman, yes.
Yes.
Vazzy, yes.
Yes.
Cooch, most likely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, come on.
Braden Point?
Possibly.
I mean, we'll see how the rest of his career goes. Corey Perry might be. Because the Hockey Hall of Fame is not just the NHL Hall of Fame. It's actually International Hockey Hall of Fame.
Right.
Corey Perry's got junior championships and gold medals. And
sure.
You go through his career, and he's probably a Hall of Famer, too.
Sure.
And the Hall of Fame will be one, but how many numbers go in the rafters?
Whole bunch.
I mean, there's two on this team. There's 4-26 right now.
Does a guy like Alex Killorn get up there?
Well, I mean, this summer you're going to read lots of stories about Andre Palat, who scored the game winner.
Yeah,
Andre, right.
And 10 years.
Most likely he's going to move on after this year based on contract. I mean, barring him wanting to take a big discount or the Lightning making another move to keep him. Getting rid of someone like a Killorn potentially to keep Palat. I mean, I don't think they'll do that, but, you know, if they decide to do something like that. But barring that, you know, Andre Palat.
Right.
The most game-winning goals in the playoffs in Lightning history.
Right.
Ryan McDonagh. He spent a lot of his career in the Rangers, too, but...
He's meant a lot to this team, though. If he wins the third cup...
I mean, Tyler Johnson's part of this group that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's now in Chicago.
Yanni Gourde was a part of this group.
Absolutely. I mean,
They need more space.
And this core is going to be together next year. I mean, they're probably going to lose Palat. Jan Rutta is a free agent. He may go somewhere else. Nick Paul's a free agent. I do think the Lightning
will try to re-sign him.
I think they want to re-sign him.
Absolutely. He was great in game three, by the way.
He's so tough on the puck, man. When he's after the puck, you cannot separate him from it.
If he takes it into the boards, you're not going to get it out of there.
And he's so different than the typical Lightning center. And that's
right, because his size.
Which
he's
is what's
huge.
Great. I mean, go back to the Cooch conversation. I mean, one of the things you have to have on a team is you can't have a bunch of Steven Stamkoses.
Right.
Or just, you have to have a variety.
Yeah.
You have to have the guys that go into the corners and retrieve pucks. You got to have the shooters that will bury it when you put it on their stick. And you got to have the playmakers like Kucherov.
Mm-hmm. The Corey Perrys that'll stand in front of the net and take all that crap.
Yes, there's a whole different mix. And you know, you can't just have a bunch of Braden Points, although you'd have a really good team if you had a bunch of Braden Points. But
sure,
you still got to have the creative playmaker. You still got to have the guys that go retrieve it in the corners. You still got to have that grind line. You still, the guys, you know, you have to have all that stuff.
Right.
And it's you know, building a team is about the skill and it's about the camaraderie and the room and all that, but it's also about the right mix of talent.
Well, and we'll see. You know, the Lightning, I mean, there's going to be a little bit of pressure on New York because their writers, and rightfully so, their market is now saying, you guys blew a chance. This could be the cup. You could have blown it all on that game because you're up 2-0. But the longer the series goes, that's where I think the rest is going to favor the Lightning. I think that's when, you know, New York had a couple players get hurt in game three. And I don't know what their status is.
So Dylan Strome did not skate on Monday, but Gerard Gallant said he was most likely going to play Tuesday night.
Okay.
Barclay Goodrow was still a wait and see, who took that shot off the ankle from Victor Hedman.
Yeah, that looked nasty. So, you know,
now if the Lightning play the way they did in game three, yes, the fact that the Rangers have played 17 playoff games already will wear on them. Because the Lightning had to skate a lot more and harder. Because they were had to play a 200-foot game.
And that's the way they got to play, though. I think that's the way they have to play this team. Mm-hmm. You know, pucks to the net, grind it out, make them go 200 feet, like you said.
Yep.
You know, and protect Vasi, still commit to defense, but you know, mostly just be really aggressive. And they got in, you know, they got in Igor's face, too. And they didn't mean to rough him twice, but they, you know.
That's going to be the other thing. Gerard Gallant, the coach of the Rangers, has talked about crowding the crease on Igor. And
He's baiting the refs, isn't he? Isn't that what that is about?
It's going to be interesting the first time Corey Perry or Nick Paul or Brendan Hagel just goes at the front of the crease. Mm-hmm. Will the Rangers start to try to rough them up and almost go too far and draw a penalty? Or
the Lightning gets sucked in.
Or will the official start calling some
embellishment?
You know, will Gallant's comments affect the play call or the ref's call tonight? We'll see.
I don't know.
They
read the paper too, by the way.
I don't. Outside the two goalie interference penalties, which were called and were penalties.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's complaining about. I mean, were there Lightning players standing in front of the crease often?
That's the game
Corey
plan.
Corey Perry, Brendan Hagel, Nick, I mean, lots. Yes.
They want to get guys in front of Vasi too.
Anthony Cirelli. Yes. Mm-hmm. Was there anything they were doing that were penalties that weren't called? I don't recall any.
No. And to Cooper's point, the two they made, they weren't trying to make.
No.
They're not trying to give a power play there.
No. And they called the penalty, and rightfully so.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm still not sure if Shesterkin's okay to play tonight after taking a stick to the face, but, you know.
Ooh, that mask. How did it hold up? Didn't shatter. Yeah.
No, I mean, I thought they was playing soccer all of a sudden. It was like.
Yeah, I know. The stretcher comes out, and then the guy runs back in the game.
Yeah.
Always love that. And what is that icy cool they spray on him? You know, what is that thing? Because it's remarkable healing powers.
Yes, it really is. Mr. Miyagi, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Igor needs to calm down a little bit. But, yeah, I think that was gamesmanship, you know, on the part of the Rangers. And, you know, but they're not going to stop trying to park in front of them because you need that occasional rebound. You need guys to the net. You need shots to the net. It worked. It puts pressure on them.
Well, that's what Corey Perry said on Monday. We're not going to stop going to the net. That's what we do. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to create traffic and block their vision. I mean, that's why we go there. It's what we're going to keep doing. I didn't see anything outside the two goalie interference penalties that were like, oh, that was a penalty. They should have called that. I'm not sure what he's talking about in that regard.
Well, maybe it'll get in their heads. We'll see. But it should be an interesting game for Amalie Arena, of course. Another big crowd expected on hand. Great atmosphere, as usual. The Rays begin a series against the St. Louis Cardinals. A rare one for them.
I don't think they've been in here. Someone was saying since 14, maybe?
You know, it's been a minute. I can't remember the last time they were here. Yeah.
Now, the schedule's going to change next year, where you play every team every year, not necessarily at home every year.
Yeah.
So, presumably, starting next year, you'll play the Cardinals every year, most likely once there, and then the next year here, vice versa.
Right.
But it's been a while since they've been here.
Cardinals trained in St. Pete for years and years and years. There's a lot of Midwesterners down here. I'm sure there'll be a lot of Cardinal fans going to that game. They got a good baseball team, so that's fun. I always like the interleague play to begin with. So, you know, the Rays need to get the bats going, need to get a little more healthier, hopefully get some players back here before too long. But That's going on at the Trop. We're also going to have our mailbag segment this week. Get your questions in. We got some rolling in already. Obviously, the Bucs mini camp begins today. Mandatory mini camp. All veterans, all rookies, Tom Brady included. We'll be out there if he talks. Check out TampaBay.com. To send your questions in, just do that on Twitter at NFL Stroud or at SportsDayTB. My email address is rstroud@TampaBay.com. Enjoy game 4, Tampa Bay Lightning against New York Rangers tonight. We'll be back to talk about it tomorrow. For Steve Versick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.